Recording studios aren't what they used to be. Take Lovely Studios, the creative space of Chris Hicken in New York City. Chris Hicken records in his fourth floor walk-up in the Inwood neighborhood of northern Manhattan. It's a space he shares with his wife and dogs, Max and Ruby. The studio is a 9-by-12-foot room filled with equipment racks and computers and keyboards, but there's an unmistakably homey feel. Green velvet curtains, old lampshades, and a rickety upright piano framed by a feather boa. He says it lends a certain Liberace feel.
The turquoise boa is what really sort of like finishes it off. Gives it the sparkle. And that piano is like nearly £400 and like five guys had to bring it upstairs. And it was just, I had to actually go out and take the dogs out because I just couldn't stand to watch these poor guys bring my piano upstairs.
It was very hot today, closing doors and opening up some new windows.
Chris Hicken's studio used to be crammed into an even smaller space way downtown in the East Village. He's since moved uptown, but it's on this very equipment he produced his debut CD on Artemis Records.
It was very hot today, I want to slap the face of the drama hungry pseudo.
Hicken calls the CD Championship Boxing because it's about struggle. And he calls himself Cantinero, Spanish for bartender. That's how he kept food on the table when it looked like his dream of a music career was out of reach.
That's how I survived. I bartended and waited tables in New York for like 10 years. And as a bartender, I worked with this Ecuadorian chap, Ivan, and he used to refer to me as Cantinero. And I just, at the back of my mind, I was like, if I ever get back into music again, was the joke, I'd call myself Cantinero.
That guy.
Chris Hicken was born in Birmingham, England, and came to America in 1993 with his band Big Mouth. He describes New York City as a kind of emotional boot camp.
It puts you through your paces. It's like when I came here, I was, by all intents and purposes, pathetic. Coming from Birmingham and being on the dole as I was for a long time. Classic musician's life, you know, rehearsing once a week and being unemployed, you know. But coming over to New York, it's just, I couldn't believe how tough it was and unforgiving it was. There's no one to rub my head and tell me it was all going to be all right. It was no one to, the support network that you would come to rely on, or I came to rely on in Birmingham wasn't there, and it's just like, I realized that I either did it for myself or it wasn't going to happen.
Hicken and his band veered close to success a few times, but it eluded them.
I got to a point when we'd go to rehearse and I couldn't even function. I couldn't finish a song, and we took a break and the break went longer and longer, and then eventually we split up, and that's when I decided to give up music for good and was trying to figure out what I was going to do with my life, given the fact that that's all I'd ever done. And what got me out of bed every day was the idea that one day I was going to be successful in music. This was a mythical prize that I was aiming for. I've always been one of those people that the fact that it's a beautiful sunny day has never been sufficient enough to get me out of bed in the morning.
Okay, so how did you cope with that realization?
Therapy. 4 years of therapy. I started getting into philosophy. I took a few classes at the New School. And through being in therapy, I came to the conclusion that I'd like to be a therapist. And when I had that realization that I could actually do something else, that it was possible for me to live a life and do something else that I figured I could do, I started making music again. And there was a computer and some musical gear in the apartment. And so to fill in the time, I started playing around. But I was doing it out of joy as opposed to doing it out of a desire to be successful.
Hicken didn't become a therapist, but he kept on experimenting in the studio. He made a demo and played it for a friend who happened to work with Danny Goldberg, chairman and CEO of Artemis Records.
Completely out of the blue, I got a phone call and he said, myself and Danny Goldberg would like you to come in the office and we'd like to offer you a deal.
What did that feel like?
Weird. Because I'd always looked for that sort of deal, always, and it'd never come. And I'd given it up. It was behind me and I was overcoming it. I felt like I was a recovering narcissist. And they offered me a deal and I went to the office and it was just odd because I was like, do I really want to do this? Do I want to go through it again? But when somebody makes you an offer, you've got to go with it. So I just continued to do it.
That's right. Open the door,
Chris Hickens' demo for the song Nice Day is full of electronic instruments and sounds. But Hickens says he had an epiphany during the recording process, falling in love with acoustic instruments after watching a TV documentary on jazz. He completely reworked the demo. Flames and bright
lights moving across the floor. I was going to use program drums, and then I decided to get in a drummer. A real piano to replace the program piano. A real bass, acoustic instrumentation recorded properly. Electric guitars were recorded in the bathroom, you know, just with the amps in the bathroom. It's just like this. And I originally was going to play the instruments myself, but I realized that it's like the ingredients into a good soup. The better the ingredients, the better the soup. And it's just like, you know, I could do it, but there are people out there that can do things much better than me. And fortunately, being in New York, I have access and I know a lot of great musicians, and they came in and they would take the parts that I'd done and they would replicate them and then improve upon them.
Has the home recording studio come of age?
Yes, I think it is, and I think it's still growing. I mean, pretty much anybody can get a computer and make music at home now. I mean, at least high-quality demos.
Now, you recorded championship boxing in the East Village with the windows open.
Yeah, well, it was really hot. It was open a lot, and things just snuck in. And we did our best to avoid it, but certain times it got there, and when it made sense, we just kept it. But when it was there and we did a take and just the sound happened to be there, then we used it. This is a song called The Machine, which is on the record. I was doing some work, I think, and it was a miserable Tuesday. I just put the microphone there and then... Now the song gets dark at this point, and this is where the wind works. It just makes it more organic. I mean, if you're going to do it at home, then it's inevitable that the environment that you record it in is going to seep in. Sometimes just you get these great happy accidents where things just come along and we keep it. In fact, if I go to the song Tuesday, we were recording acoustic guitars and the dogs came back in from their evening walk. It was one of those moments where it was like, this could be great. This would be really good, but don't screw up the take. And he didn't screw up the take, which is nice.
Right, he didn't screw up the take, and when I heard it the first time, it never occurred to me they weren't supposed to be there.
And for the longest time, every time I played the song, she'd bark. And other friends have told me that when they play the song, their dogs actually sort of sit up, so they can hear it. It's that sort of like call of the wild.
One of the songs on the CD, "The Conversation," deals with the death of your father.
We had the conversation. He was diagnosed with lung cancer. He was 78, and I got a sense that I should go back, and I went back, and I could talk to him in a way that I'd never talked to him before in the past, in as much as it was always because of the generation that he was from. He was very stiff upper lip, and in that state, when you're where he was at that particular moment, he kind of opened up, and in having the conversation with him, I realized that we were very similar. I realized that basically I was so much like him, the thought process. I was just like, I realized I was an extension of him. Chocolate nuts, crushing cars. You can have an ice cream. What's the fuss? Got the guts. Nice to know that I love you. We had the conversation.
There's also a line about guts in that song.
Yeah, we were talking about music, and at that point, I didn't feel I could do it anymore. And he just said, it depends whether you've got the guts or not, really, doesn't it? And he said it in a sort of such a matter-of-fact way, and I couldn't figure out whether he was challenging me or not, but it was something that's really stuck with me. Even though it was tough to do it, I was like, the fact that he said you've got the guts, it was like laying down the gauntlet. And it was like him giving me the okay to continue, so that was definitely a motivation for me.
After all the years of bartending and your ups and downs in the music business, were you surprised that Artemis picked up your music and that you found yourself with a successful disc?
Yeah, really surprised.
And you're not afraid that you're going to be dashed against the rocks again?
Absolutely, petrified. But, I mean, anxiety is what kind of pushes, what focuses me as well. I just don't think you can... I mean, I've got an awful lot of anxiety. I'm not going to lie to you.
And what about any more bartending in your future?
Hopefully not.
Christopher Hicken, also known as Cantanero. His CD Championship Boxing is on Artemis Records. He joined us here at Lovely Studios, also known as his apartment in New York City. Thanks very much, Chris.
Thank you very much for having me.
You can see photos of Lovely Studios and hear audio cuts on our website, npr.org. Our feature was produced by Ned Wharton and engineered by Manoli Wetherill. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Sheila Cast.